Take two. This is James McElhinney speaking with Mira Nakashima at the Nakashima Studios on Aquaton Road in New Hope, Pennsylvania, on the 11th of March, Thursday, 2010. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Thank you for agreeing to this conversation. Let me ask you, when was the first time you became aware of art? I realize that you were raised in an artistic environment, but when did you realize it was special?
That's a tough question.
Well, we'll ask it later.
I don't know. It's always been there, so it's hard to pinpoint when it became special. I took, of course, art classes in high school, and I'd always painted and drawn and made stuff. But my parents made the judgment that my high school art teacher was no good.
And where did you study?
I went to Solbury School.
Oh, you went to the Solbury School.
For high school.
For high school. Mm-hmm. When did you move here to New Hope?
In 1943.
In 1943.
Yes.
Take us back a little bit. May we speak a little about your father?
Of course.
I believe when we met before, you told me that he was from Spokane, Washington.
Right.
And he was... the child of immigrants,
or
yes, and what can you tell us about his early life?
My grandmother on my father's side was one of the, I always thought it was kind of amusing. She was a picture bride. She had been working in the court of the Emperor Meiji, and really didn't want to leave the court. But her parents decided it was time for her to get married. And they were trying to arrange different marriages for her, and then she didn't like any of the guys, so she went to a fortune teller, and the fortune teller told her to marry a poor man at a distance. My grandfather, in the meantime, he'd been sort of an explorer, I guess, explorer of different things. He, at one point, my dad said that he took blankets to China and sold them to both sides of the war there. And he came to the U.S. somewhere around the turn of the century. And he worked with a trading company and was looking for a wife, so he sent to Japan. And he had a picture of her, apparently. That's the way it worked. But she didn't have a picture of him. So when she came in on the boat, she was looking at this row of young men on the dock and hoping that the little man that looked like a monkey at the end of the line wasn't her husband, and it was. And so, but they took no chances. The men came on board, and they performed marriage ceremonies before the women could change their minds. And my grandmother lived with him all of her life, never complained, had four children. My dad was the first of those children. She went to elementary school and sat in the little baby chairs in the first grade or whatever, kindergarten, whatever, you know, the smallest chairs were, to learn English. And she never really mastered the language. Towards the end of her life, she came to visit us, and she would always speak the wrong language with the wrong people. If we had a group of Americans visiting, she would speak Japanese to them. Of course, they didn't understand what she was saying. If we had a group of Japanese visitors, she would invariably speak English to them, so that they didn't understand her either. It was funny. But anyway, that was my grandparents, and then Dad was born in 1905, and that was the year when the Japanese had won a war with Russia, mm-hmm. And so he was named Katsutoshi, which means the year of victory. That was his middle name. And the second son was named Victor, and then Theodore was the third one, and my Aunt Mary was the fourth child in their family. And they all grew up in Seattle, Washington. My dad went to University of Washington in forestry because he'd been a Boy Scout, and was very fond of trees, and did a lot of hiking in the Olympic Peninsula. And so he started off in forestry, and I don't know if he realized that it was